KC4ECN, KN4RJN.
KN4RJN, KC4ECN.
KN4RJN. Now you're breaking up a little bit, but I put some new bolts in the ceiling fan, and they were bothering the antenna, so I moved the antenna outside. I just turned the lights out. You're coming in a little bit better on my base station. There's still some heavy static, but apparently those lights have a little bit to do with it.
Well, I would have thought they would have also worked on your handheld.
Not bothering the handheld at all. I'd turn up the volume on that to catch all of that, but there's still some pretty heavy-duty static, but at least your voice is coming through.
I've got the mic about, I don't know, inch and a half from my face, and again, we're talking over a piece of radio that's about half as old as you are, putting out, according to the manual, I've got it on low power, which is 5 watts into the repeater, so I think your repeater's, what, 20 or 50 watts or something down there, so it ought to be getting into your radio real well, KC4EZN.
You're coming into the handheld, it's just sitting on my desk now, so you're coming into that good, but I'm still getting, at first I got some voice through the base station, but now all I'm getting is static.
Don't get that. You tried other repeaters, like right now, you know, playing around with it. You're only getting it on that one band.
Frequency that it's doing it, which is odd, but it's a dual band radio, and I run the other band to something that I know I'm not going to hear anything that won't interfere with this repeater. Yeah, I may have to work in the dark here. At least the handheld's coming in better.
Yeah, I have read about LED bulbs doing that, but from what little I have read, if you buy like a brand name, or there's a company called CREE that at least Consumers Report, some of the other folks like that brand, and they don't seem to cause the interference that some of the brands that you've never heard of. Now, I think they're all still made in China, but still. And then the other thing is to go find an old incandescent bulb, at least for tomorrow night.
It was those bulbs that were, because I had LEDs in that thing before, and I got some brighter bulbs that are in fact also dimmable, and I don't know if that's got anything to do with it or not. Can you give me a long count for just a second?
Okay, KN4RJN, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, KC4EZN.
Roger, I flipped the lights on and off while you were counting. It didn't seem to affect it a whole lot, although it's working better on the disc here, although it does break up just a little bit occasionally, so I don't know how we're going to work this one out. Yeah, it's going to be fine tomorrow night, I tell you that. I'm either going to have to work on top of the ladder, or work in the dark, or maybe work on top of a ladder in the dark. And this is just odd. I do not understand this at all.
I've got a friend that's got an early 90 model Buick, and in the morning the car will start. It will run for anywhere from 5 to 12 minutes, and then it quits, and it will not start again until the next day. And there's an ignition module in it, and there's a computer running it. Again, this is like a 1992 car. Oh, the mileage is pretty low on it, and it's pretty clean, but he would like to drive it. But there's no answer to what it is, not with the tools that we have. So, I don't know. You might want to, between now and tomorrow, your options of what you can run out and pick up are somewhere between almost zero and nothing. I'd almost spring for trying to figure out how to make a longer headphone cord. I got enough scrap stuff here. I'm in the process of taking the push-to-talk switch off of an earphone that had the microphone in the switch that was meant to go on a Chinese radio that uses the Kenwood connection pattern, the two pins that Kenwood uses, and I needed a push-to-talk switch, and this thing looked really good, and I took it apart, and you won't believe how tiny they can make wires, and then they put synthetic fibers in there to give them structural integrity, but I don't know if you remember the old high impedance dynamic headphones that you used to get on a crystal set, and they had that flat copper stuff woven in with the cloth, and I made the mistake one time of trying to solder cotton. Doesn't solder real good. But anyway, lots of luck to you, John. We'll see what you're going to do tomorrow night. It'll be a surprise and something to talk about. KN4RJN, KC4EZN.
KN4RJN. Go ahead, Andy.
Remember the exact year, and they certainly probably won't fix it. Your problem between now and next Friday evening, but sometime right when they started phasing in these new LED bulbs and phasing out the incandescents, QST done some checks on some of these LED bulbs. Some was fine, and some created all kinds of havoc here on the ham band. You might want to take a look, see if you can find a copy of that, and take a look at it and see which ones was good and which ones was bad.
That, Andy, but the only problem is I'm sitting here in the dark right now, and I'm still getting the static on the base station. I'm listening to you on my handheld, holding it up in the air so I can get a little bit better reception on it. But and it's only on this frequency. None of the other bands have that problem, and this frequency works great in the daytime, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Any thoughts on that?
The antenna that you've been using on your fixed station, has it been inside the house, the residence?
But then when I switched those light bulbs, then it started really interfering with it. So I moved it outside. It's outside right now.
Compared to where I am to this repeater and where you are to this repeater, I would get me a good outside antenna up for like doing the nets. You know, I'm right here, but like this repeater looks right down at me. But where you had over Inman, in relation to where this repeater is a good distance. So it might be best to use a good outside antenna as much as possible, at least when you're doing the net.
But I'm talking to you on my base station, and I'm assuming my transmission is coming in clear.
Problem on your transmit. Apparently, as you say, it's just on your receive.
Steve, all I get is static. Like I said, I'm holding the handheld up in the air and cranked the volume up so I could hear it, and I'm listening to you on that and talking to you on the radio.
Putting up a good outside antenna and, well, look looking at that to see which one of those LED bulbs is good and not good. That's about the best I can tell you myself. Go to the station, go ahead.
Easy, and good evening, Andy. Your comments are right on. Some of the LEDs do create a lot of interference, but the things that I have read are when you buy the cheap ones off-brand, then you run a bigger risk of getting interference than when you buy one of the name brands. But that doesn't sound exactly like that's John's problem. I think his radio has just got a problem, and I think probably you ought to go Google and see where to send it to and get it worked on. I know I've got a Yaesu that was an 857 that it's 2 years ago now. I went to California to visit my daughter. And that radio, for some reason, you know, when the SWR is high, it pulls the power back. And then there is a wire in that connector back there that if you ground that wire, it automatically folds it back. But it also dims the display. But anyway, I went round and round and checked that radio on two or three different antennas. And, you know, even into a dummy load, I had high SWR according to it. And after two or three emails, the guy at Yaesu says, pack it up and ship it to us, so you can't fix it, because, you know, he was looking at menu settings and those things that I can work on, and that's what I did, and I think $75 later, and a lot of that was shipping, they sent it back to me, and it worked just fine, so that may be John's next step, is to get in touch with the factory, and if it's a Yaesu radio, their repair facilities in California. But they were pretty good online to make suggestions. But that'd be my next step, is to get in touch with the manufacturer and see if something can happen. Well, first of all, you Google it, and then if you don't get anything, then you go to the manufacturer. But that might be the next step. We'll turn it back to you and see what's going to happen to you tomorrow night, John. Like I say, you might want to get a headlamp or something, and sit up on the top of the ladder or something. Anyway, we'll turn it back to you and Andy. It's KC4EZN.
4RZN. Yeah, well, I'm going to... If I run the net tomorrow night, I'm going to be standing up, holding the handheld up in the air, talking on the radio and trying to type on a computer, so it ought to be interesting in any event.
Get your wife to video that with your phone and put it on Facebook.
I think what I'll do is I'm going to take the head of a chicken and put it in a brown paper bag and go out under a full moon while standing on one foot, jumping up and down, swinging the bag over my head and yell whoopee, and maybe that'll fix it.
I always threaten that radio with a hammer. Back in the old tube days, that worked. I don't think it works now. Solid state sort of eliminated that old fix, but might make you feel better.
One thing I would suggest, of course, I don't know if you got one of them, but as he was saying earlier, I would get me a, being the disc you got from the repeater, you need an adapter for your HT to hook the outside antenna up to it, because believe me, with an HT, it won't show necessarily where I'm at, but from your distance from this repeater, that outside antenna will make a world of difference. Say, like doing the net, having it on the outside antenna.
Sadly, I don't have an adapter for that. I don't know if I can acquire one. The wireman ought to have adapters like that, shouldn't he?
Wireman should, but whether you can get it before time for the net's another story, but I would seriously consider doing that until you can get the other situation straightened out.
The wireman, is he in Landrum?
Been there myself, but From my understanding, it's somewhere back off up northern Greenville, Spartanburg County, somewhere back off up in there, but I hadn't exactly been there myself, so I can't give you directions to it exactly.
John, I looked him up on the internet, put his address into my GPS, and I live in Candler, which is west of Asheville, drove down there and drove straight to it. The thing you have to be careful is when you pull into the entrance to his place, immediately in front of you there's a nice big sign. I think it's a gated community, and if you look to the right you see this dirt road, and that's where you drive down into his place, and he's got a big warehouse and stuff back there. I would call ahead first. That's what I did, and gave him my order, and when I got there, I rolled the car window down and told them who I was and handed the lady money, and she handed me a bag of wire, and I came home. So, but like I say, just be careful when you pull up to the entrance. There's a nice fancy entrance, and just to the right is his driveway. Can't tell you how I got there because I was following my GPS, KC4EZN.
Was that in Landrum that you went to?
I think that's his mailing address. Now, like I say, I can't tell you. This has been like 6 or 7 years ago since I did that. But I can't say he was in Landrum, but that's his mailing address.
Well, Steve down the road, KN4BWA, has been there, and he's less than a mile from me, and I talk to him frequently. So I'll get directions from him, and I'll call and see if they've got an adapter I can get from this connector to the handheld.
I get to, if that works, that's going to be your easiest way out, because I know where my house is located. I'm at the bottom of the hill, and with my handheld on high power, I can hit the Mount Pisgah repeater because I can see it from my front porch. But that's it. I can sometimes bring up Mount Mitchell from here in my basement. Now, when I hook it to the outside antenna, which is, gosh, it's 28 feet. My house is on the side of a hill, so in the back is two-story, and I've got a fireplace in the back of the house, and so my antenna is strapped to the chimney, which sticks about 3 feet above the peak of the roof, and I've got two 10-foot sections of Unistrut and a 10-foot piece of PVC pipe that's got the antenna I'm talking on to now, which is one of those aluminum J-poles that guy sells at the Hamfest. And I can hit this repeater here with a half a watt out of my handheld. I can't quite do that to Mount Mitchell, and of course the club repeater has got a mountain between me and it. It's only 6 miles away, and I can use 10 watts to get into it from the house, but I can get into your repeater with a half watt, and it's, I don't know, 35, 40 miles away. There's evidently a notch in the mountains. Anyway, I think that's going to be your best way out, plus it'll give you a backup radio there, too. We're going to turn you loose, John, and we'll be around tomorrow night. We'll make up something to talk about. KN4RJN, KI4LZI, this is KC4EZN, and we'll be clear.
That, Harry. Well, you take care of yourself. Andy, appreciate the suggestions. I'm going to back on out of here and see if I can figure out something here. But anyway, you guys have a good evening. KN4RJN, I am clear.
Yeah, I read that in QST some years ago, and when I started talking about phasing these incandescents out, I knew that was problems coming down the line for some people. Luckily, it hasn't hit me yet, because we're, for the most part, here still using incandescents, but one day we will run out. KI4LZI port.
lights on and they started bothering the handhelds a little bit. So. That ain't cool. You have a good evening, Andy. Again, 4RJ and clear.
That connect for that outside antenna because you wasn't solid at all. I just heard enough to hear you acknowledge me. KI-4LZI-4.
So I was transmitting on the handheld or trying to. I was too far away from the radio, but anyway. Thank you, Andy. We'll talk at you later. KM4RJ and clear.